Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you're here, where we go through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and what do we study? Tell me, we study what? The Bible, come on, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, and then we apply it to our lives. And right now, we're studying the Gospels. We're in the Gospel of John. And we're in chapter 5, another one of these chapters in the Gospel of John that is just chock full of spiritual truth. So, let's pray, and then we'll get into John chapter 5. Here we go. And let's take a moment and ask God the Lord to cleanse us from our sins this week, this day, and make our hearts open to His Word. And Lord Jesus, we also pray, continuing for the situation in Ukraine, Lord Jesus, bring peace and cessation to those hostilities, we pray. And be merciful to the people there in Ukraine. Bring many to Christ through this exigency in their life. And support the believers there. Care for them and protect them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what did we say? Come on. Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. Well, last week, as I told you, we looked at what I think is one of the 10 greatest verses in the Bible, John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, has eternal life, and shall not come into judgment or condemnation, but has passed, perfect tense, has passed, is passed, and always will be passed from death into eternal life. Marvelous. And if you missed that message, I want to urge you to go back and listen to it. It will flat encourage your heart. Now, we press on, and the title of the message today is The Resurrections, plural, from the dead. And you say, I don't get it. I thought there was just one resurrection from the dead. Well, there was Jesus' resurrection from the dead, for sure. But the Bible teaches that we who believe in Christ are going to be resurrected from the dead as well. And the Bible also teaches that every human being that's ever lived is going to be resurrected from the dead. You say, really? Yeah, wait a minute, I didn't say their destinations once they were resurrected is the same. No, no, the destination after they're resurrected is not the same. One is heaven for eternity, the other's the lake of fire for eternity. But everybody who's ever lived is going to live forever, my friends. There's no such thing as just blowing out the candle and you're gone. No. And we're going to talk about that today. And I want to tell you ahead of time, I don't have all the answers to all these resurrections. The Bible is not 100% clear about all of them, and the chronological order in which they all take place and who's actually involved in every single one of them. But I'll do the best I can, okay? And then we'll talk about so what. All right, here we go. John chapter 5, King James Version of the Bible, New King James. Here we go. And we're beginning in John chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse 25. Here we go. Most assuredly, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now, Jesus says the hour is now where those who are dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, who obviously is the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm not sure. It could mean those who are spiritually dead, meaning the people all around Jesus, and he's talking about the Jewish people who are listening to him every day. Or he could mean the people in the graves. It doesn't actually say, so I don't really know exactly what that means. But I do love the fact, as we said last week, that Jesus has life in himself. You don't, I don't. The breath of life was breathed into us. Book of Genesis chapter 1. But Jesus has life intrinsically in himself, and he gives it out, which is why you and I are alive today. Jesus chose to give us life today. Not a sermon, just a thought. We're not going to stop and do a whole sermon on that. But it's good spiritual truth. Not a sermon, just a thought truth. Okay, now let's move on just a little bit. And Jesus will explain himself, I think, a little bit more. Look, verse 28, and do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves, clear now, will hear his, meaning the Son of God's, voice, and come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. This makes it clear. Everybody's being resurrected. As I said, the destination of everybody's not the same, but everybody is being resurrected and then will be judged. Now, those of us who are in Christ, we saw it last week, we don't come under the judgment of God for sin in the afterlife. We have passed from death into eternal life. But the people who are not covered by the blood of Jesus, they get judged in the afterlife for what they did in this world, and ultimately for their sin, which sends them to hell and the lake of fire. Now, this is what Jesus said. And you said, well, why does he say those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection what does he say here, of condemnation? Why does he say it like that? I thought that going to heaven and going to hell, having eternal life and having condemnation, has nothing to do with what we do or what we don't do. You're absolutely right. And you know, friends, this is the problem with expository preaching. Well, there's not a problem, but this is the conundrum of expository preaching. You know, expository preaching means going through the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and expositing, explaining every single verse and chapter. You know, when you do topical preaching and you just pick a topic here and there and you jump around, I mean, look, you can skip the tough verses. I wouldn't have to even mess with this verse if I didn't want to. When you do an expository preaching, you have to grapple with the tough verses just like the easy verses. And sometimes we have to say, when we do an expository preaching, I just don't know exactly why Jesus said that the way he said that. And this is one where I don't know exactly why he said it the way he said it. But there's a basic rule of hermeneutics, interpretation, interpreting the Bible, which says we interpret the unclear by the clear. In other words, if there's a verse or two that is unclear exactly what they mean, we interpret them by the verses that are crystal clear. And the verses that are crystal clear make it clear. Make it clear. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us, Titus said. And it is clear that no one will be justified by the works of the flesh, Romans chapter 3. So whatever this verse means, some to the who've done good, some who've done evil, it does not mean that our salvation is based upon what we do, because the verses that are clear make that clear. Yes. Okay. So we may not be able to say what it does mean for sure, but we can certainly say based on these other verses what it doesn't mean. And it doesn't mean that salvation is based on doing good or evil in this life. It's based on trusting Christ and what he did for us on the cross. Okay? Now, let's talk about the resurrection. Martha, Mary and Martha, John chapter 11, we'll get there and do the whole chapter in a minute or two. But look what Mary said to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus shows up when her brother Lazarus is dead. And look what Jesus says, John chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus said to her, Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection and at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die eternally. Do you believe that? And she said, yes, Lord. I believe you're the Messiah. So what did Martha say? She said, at the end of the age, I know that there's going to be a resurrection. And Jesus said, you're right. But I am the living resurrection. And the reason there will be a resurrection at the end of the age is because I am the living resurrection. And I said, he who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And Jesus also said, in John's gospel, because I live, you will live also eternally. Okay, but this is not very code specific. This is not very detailed. She said there will be a resurrection. Look what she said at the last day. But that's all we get here. And Daniel talks about in chapter 12, the resurrection in the last day. He says, let me read it to you. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, look, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Talking about believers, these to everlasting life. But again, not very specific. So what's this all going to look like? Well, let's go through the New Testament and look at some of the teachings about the resurrection. Let's begin with Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 14. Verse 13 says, but when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Verse 14, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Okay, so there is a resurrection of the people who are just in the sight of God. This comes through faith in Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, we have been justified by the death of Christ, by the blood of Christ. We've been pronounced not guilty with prejudice. I checked it. That means you can't be tried again for the same crimes with prejudice in the courtroom of heaven. Now, look with me in Acts chapter 24. Verse 15, the Apostle Paul speaking, and look what he says in chapter 24, verse 15. He says, and I have hope in God, which they themselves, the Jews, also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So, Paul is reflecting John chapter 5, verse 29, that there'll be two resurrections, one of the just, one of the unjust. So that's about what we have until we get to the book of Revelation. And when we get to the book of the Revelation, look at Revelation chapter 20, we get a little more detail. And let me read to you most of the chapter, verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down, this is at the end of the age, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years be finished. And after these things, the 1,000 years, he must be released for a little while. And then look, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they who sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and not received his mark on their foreheads or his hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. So these are the tribulation saints who during the great tribulation, the Antichrist beheaded them because they wouldn't take the mark of the beast. As best I can understand this. And they ruled for 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible says. And when the 1,000 years, verse 7, have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations again. And then the Lord Jesus has to fight him again here on earth and defeat him again here on earth. And the devil who deceived people was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, it's interesting that this lake of fire is mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 25. Look at this with me. Matthew chapter 25, and look at verse 41. This is after he separates the sheep from the goat in his parable. And to the goats he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So what we find out is that the lake of fire was not originally created for members of the human race. But the revolt of Satan, as Milton called it, the foul revolt of him and his angels against the Lord, occurred before there was a human race. And God created, as best I can understand, the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. It's just that people who follow the devil and his angels by not trusting Christ, they go there also. And what's there? Well, listen to what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 8, in condemning the Jewish people for not believing in him, even though they were Abraham's children and the sons of the kingdom that Abraham had been promised, but they wouldn't believe in him. Look what it says, verse 11, Matthew 8. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, Gentiles even, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom, Jewish unbelievers, will be cast, look at this, into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 13. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And finally, in Jesus's parable in Matthew 25, he says in verse 30 that cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what do we know about the lake of fire? Well, it seems like an anomaly because how can you be a lake of fire? Fire normally gives light, but there's outer darkness at the same place. I don't understand that, but I do know darkness is frightening. I was reading an article in USA Today that was talking about how many people, not just children, are frightened of the dark, and I don't blame them. Darkness is where the enemy lives and where he does his great work. And the darkness is scary. You can't see anything. And who knows what's coming around the corner. Yeah. Jude says that the angels that did not keep their first estate, Jude 1:6, were cast into outer darkness. 2 Peter chapter 2 twice says that they're going to be held in the chains of darkness. And this article said that if we eventually, those who are afraid of the dark, can say a mantra, the mantra is, my room is a safe place and I and brave. My room is a safe place when it's dark, and I am brave. And if you say that enough, USA, the psychologist said, you will build mastery over the fear of darkness. I'm sorry. I can say that as many times as you want to say it, but you cast me into outer darkness, and there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth and terror. Darkness is terror for so many of us. And I remember when I was at Woodstock in 1969, we were staying at a bungalow that was about 45-minute walk from the fairgrounds and a couple miles, and it was pitch dark. I mean, you've never seen darkness this dark. And I had to walk that road. It was forest on both sides, back and forth at night. We were there 2 weeks ahead of the festival starting, and I would go up to the festival grounds where they were building the stage and spend the day there and walk back at night. I was terrified of what might come out of those woods after me. I mean, I'd seen way too many Twilight Zones growing up. Late on a Friday night, and then went into my room and turned out the lights and tried to go to bed. I was convinced from one of them that somebody was going to reach up from under the bed and grab me and pull me under the bed and through the wall, if you remember that one. Terrifying! And I'd never be seen again. The parents could hear the child talking through the wall, but they couldn't get to it. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. You say, Lon, I sure hope you got a good therapist. No, everybody is afraid of the dark when it's complete dark and you don't know what's around. Outer darkness, horrible. With the devil and his angels. Okay, now, what do we know so far? We know there's going to be a first resurrection of the tribulation saints. We also know that when the Lord comes back, he's going to raise the dead out of the grave, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we call this the rapture. Or is this the same as a resurrection? I don't know. Revelation 20 says that the resurrection of the tribulation saints is going to be the first resurrection. Is the rapture considered just a part of the first resurrection? I don't know. But clearly there's going to be a resurrection of those of us in the grave when the Lord comes back in the air before the tribulation period. Now there's another one of the tribulation saints. And then finally, look at this, the end of Revelation chapter 20. At the end, the devil who deceived them, as we said, verse 10, was cast into the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever, day and night. And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for earth and heaven. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his work. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whoa, the great white throne judgment. Okay, what do we know here? Everybody's raised from the dead, the sea, the land, everywhere, no matter where their bodies went. And they are judged. The Lord Jesus said it'll be by him, John chapter 5, all judgment's been given to him. He sits on the great white throne, and they're judged according to their deeds. Now, this is not believers here. There's no believers at the great white throne judgment. There's only people here whose names are not in the book of life. And remember, look what it says here. It says that the books were open, and another book was opened, verse 12, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged through their deeds according to the works that were written in the books. So there's the books there. Friends, God writes down every single thing you and I ever say or do. Remember, Jesus said, every idle word you speak, you shall be held accountable for at the judgment. Yeah, and every deed that we do goes into the books under our name. Now, we don't face this judgment as believers, no. But the people whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life do. And why is the Book of Life there? I believe the Book of Life is there. Doesn't God already know who's in the Book of Life? Why does he have to bring the book there? I believe the book is there because many people will protest and say, no, no, I walked an aisle in a church. I was baptized. I was confirmed. My name has to be in the Book of Life. And I believe God will turn it around and show them under their name. Jones, all right, here you are. Look, see if you can find it. It's not in there because you never trusted me. Remember what Jesus said? Many will say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus will say, depart. I never knew you. And Jesus will say, you might have done all those religious works, but you never knew me personally by trusting Christ on what he did for you on the cross. I think the Book of Life is there to silence these protesting people. And look what the Bible says. It says, and anyone, verse 15, not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Everybody here is an unbeliever at the great white throne judgment. And notice the verse before, death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Verse 13, death and Hades deliver up the dead that were in them. Apparently, hell, Hades, is just a temporary holding place until people who are there are delivered up to the great white throne, and hell goes into the lake of fire, and death goes into the lake of fire, and everybody who's never trusted Christ goes into the lake of fire, which was created for the devil and his angels. So hell is a temporary holding place, apparently. And so, yeah, do people go to hell? Yeah, but that's only part way to the worst place, where there's outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth, and they shall be tormented day and night forever. Wow. Okay. Now, are those all the resurrections there are? All unbelievers at the great white throne, believers at the first resurrection, or maybe at the rapture and the first resurrection? Folks, I don't know, but that's what it appears to be in the scripture. And that fits with John chapter 5 and what Jesus said. There'll be a resurrection to life. There'll be a resurrection to condemnation. The great white throne resurrection. All right. Well, that's the best I can do with that. But I got some very encouraging information for you as soon as we say our most important question. Are you ready? Come on now. Here it is. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Come on. So what? And isn't it great that you and I aren't going to be at the great white throne judgment? Oh my gosh. Isn't it awesome that we're not going there, because we have passed from death into eternal life, and we are passed? John 5:24? Yes. And you know what that makes us say? Come on, say it with me. Here we go. Come on now. How sweet it is. You bet. Now, so what, Lon? I'm not going to be at the great white throne judgment. Praise the Lord. So what? Well, wait a minute. I got a so what that's really, really great. Look at this. Look with me at verse 12. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. These are unbelievable. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. Now, the books are not the Book of Life. The books are where God recorded every single thing people said and did here on this earth. And apparently there are levels of hell where people go depending upon how they lived here on earth. So someone who lived a really moral life, they didn't know Christ, so they're going to the lake of fire, but they lived a really moral life and tried really hard to do what was right. Are they going to be on the same level as Hitler or Stalin or the Jewish rabbis at the time of Christ and since then who've tried to talk people out of believing in Jesus? No, there are levels of hell. In fact, Luke's gospel talks about the people that are going to receive fewer stripes. In fact, listen to what Luke's gospel says. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 47. And the servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to the master's will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. People say, well, what about somebody who lives in Outer Mongolia and maybe didn't hear the gospel and ends up in hell? Well, you know what? They're going to be beaten with fewer stripes because they didn't know as much as the Jewish rabbis at the time of Christ, for example. You understand what I'm saying? So, apparently there are levels of the lake of fire. Everybody doesn't go to the same level. And it's based upon how bad you were here on earth, how evil you were, and how many evil things you did, and what you knew about Christ that you rejected. And why is that an encouragement to you and me? Friends, because it means nobody's getting away with anything. Because it means that every single thing that people have said and done, including those things that have hurt you and that have damaged you and have caused you pain, they're all written in the books that are going to be there at the Great White Throne Judgment. And God is going to hold everybody accountable for what they've done. It may look like Hitler got out of this world easy by committing suicide and never was held to account for the horrible things that he did. Oh, don't you worry about that, baby. It's all written in the books. And when he's resurrected at the Great White Throne Judgment, I just want to say, everybody's going to be glad they're not him. And Stalin and so many other people who've done things that they've seemed to have gotten away with. No. Nobody's going to get away with anything. For whatsoever a man sows, Galatians 6:7, that also shall he reap. If he doesn't reap it in this world, he's going to reap it at the Great White Throne Judgment. You can believe that. So don't you worry about a thing. Nobody's getting away with a thing. They're all going into the books, and the books are coming out at the Great White Throne, and the books are what God is going to use to judge what level of hell, not hell, the lake of fire, he sends people to. No, there's going to be an accounting. No, friend, there's going to be a reckoning. Now you say, what about believers who've done awful things to me and to others? Yeah, well, if they're a true believer and they've really trusted Christ, then they're going to heaven. But remember, God's going to judge when we get to heaven, going to give us a performance review. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's gold, silver, and precious stones. There's wood, hay, and stubble that get burned up. And their level of treatment in heaven will be based upon how much of their work gets burned up because it's evil and wrong. So they're not getting away with it either. They may not go to the lake of fire, but they won't get much reward in heaven. Now, they're going to be held accountable also. Nobody's getting away with a thing, not whether you go to heaven and certainly not at the Great White Throne. So friends, relax. Relax. God's going to read the books and everybody's getting what's coming to them, okay? And you can count on that. We have a just God. And so just commit them to the Lord and he'll take care of it. And let me close by showing you that this is how the Apostle Paul lived. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, Alexander the coppersmith, verse 14, did me much harm. You wait till I get out of jail. I might get my hands on him. No. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Paul left it with the Lord, that the Lord was going to reward him according to his works. Was Alexander a believer or an unbeliever? I don't know. But either way, Paul knew that he was going to be held accountable. There would be a reckoning for what he did. And Paul said, may the Lord repay him. I'm not even going to worry about him. May the Lord repay him. And folks, the good news is the Lord will repay him, just like he will repay everyone who's hurt and damaged you. You don't have to worry about it. Let it go. Let it go. Be a tunnel, not a wall. Let it go to the Lord and get on with your life. And don't let what they did become an anchor that holds you back in your life. It doesn't need to be. You don't need to worry about them getting their just reward. Hey, baby, it's in the books. And they will get what they deserve. And the Lord will give it to them. You don't have to deal with it. Praise the Lord. May the Lord repay them for what they did, for their works. Let's pray. And if you've got somebody like that in your life, or maybe more than one person, and you've been holding on to it and wishing that you could get back at them and kind of just hating them in your heart, yearning for their reckoning in your heart, friends, let it go right now. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I turn it loose. May you repay them for their works. Lord, help us to turn these people loose unto you and get on with our life in freedom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And what'd you say? Amen. All right. Now, what was this? I got to do it because I got a bunch of people wrote me and said, don't worry about it. It was preaching. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for those books that are keeping count. Keeping account. Praise the Lord. Hey, see you next week on Live with Lon. We're going to be back in John chapter 5. Praise the Lord. God bless you.